Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody. Cody, we got a big show today. We're going to talk a lot about the pro days, the Steelers' needs and how they've changed, and do a live mock draft at the conclusion of today's show. But first off, my question to you is, how are you today?
Oh, James, I am fantastic. It's Saturday. It's the weekend. Picked up a second job, so I'm working that again tonight. But it's not bad. Real quick, for you guys watching on YouTube or listening on any of the apps that you have for listening, whether it be Podbean or Apple iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, whatever, make sure you guys follow us on the social media. We want to get you guys connected. We're going to be posting a lot more, hopefully, this upcoming season. We're working on all that stuff. But again, make sure you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, if you're not watching already on YouTube, at Steelers by the Lake. Can't wait to have you guys join our extended family throughout the multiverse of social media. Sorry, I'm in a big multiverse guy right now with Spider-Man and Doctor Strange, so I had to bring it up.
Very cool. You want to get right after it here?
We might as well, right? No Steelers by the Lake news today. We're going straight in.
Straight in, for sure. We're going to talk first with all these free agency things that have happened with the Steelers. Obviously, they've signed a bunch of new guys, a lot of new starters to the team, some nice depth pieces. It's really changed what the team needs are. So before we start talking about pro days and doing a mock draft, we kind of wanted to talk first about what are the updated needs. And it's kind of in clusters. The first three we're going to talk about are ones that we would consider high importance, first or second round kind of thing. And then the rest are going to be more depth pieces, not necessarily as much of a priority. First thing, starting strong safety. We don't have one right now. So that needs to be addressed, if not through the remaining portion of free agency, definitely in the draft in the first or second round. There's a number of very highly athletic safeties in this year's draft class with good size, too. So would not be angry if they did this in the draft, but definitely something they need to address soon.
Yeah, and I know that a lot of people have talked about, myself included. Myself, I've been very heavy on the potential addition of Tyrann Mathieu. Tyrann Mathieu, if free agency potentially with Minka, would be a tremendous group of safeties back there. But again, I've also heard people contemplate, you know, keeping Terrell Edmunds, re-signing him. He's still currently unsigned in free agency. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. But I agree with you completely. Strong safety is a massive need for our secondary and our team as a whole. Second big need, slot wide receiver. You know, they obviously brought in the quick guy, Gunner, for kick return and punt return. I'm sure he's capable of playing slot, but right now he's probably not the guy you'd want to be playing slot. Let's be real. And then you got Deontay and Chase. You know, James Washington and Juju are gone. And Ray Ray. Who's going to be that third guy to step up? Or is it somebody on the team? We still have Anthony Miller. We still have Cody White. We have Rico Bussey. Steven Sims. We got all these guys on the roster still. Are they going to say, hey, next man up mentality and not draft a receiver? I don't think they will. But let me clarify. I don't think they won't draft a receiver. I think receiver immediately became a drafting position with the loss of those three guys. But they always could not. It'd be very interesting to see what happens if they don't draft a wide receiver at all in the draft.
Yeah, they almost always take a wide receiver. Last year was one of the few years that they didn't. Won't be surprised if there's an early and a late wide receiver in this draft class, but getting an experienced slot receiver or someone who can be dynamic in that position, I feel, is a pretty important thing. Gunnar Olszewski, yeah, we have an actual official pronunciation now. Gunnar has 9 career receptions. So not the experienced slot guy that you're thinking, but he is a Pro Bowl caliber return man, so it was a very important signing.
Hey, you know what, though? You know what? If they draft a guy, he has 0 career receptions.
As a professional, yes. Absolutely. But, yeah, definitely something we both feel is an important need with the losses that we experienced at that position. Future quarterback, you know, not to be the third thing to talk about. Obviously, they made the big signing bringing in Mitchell Trubisky. But he's only getting 2 years, $14 million as far as the guaranteed portion of the contract. Can be up to $27 million if he does roll well, gets enough playing time, playoffs, whatever all. But realistically, they are doing their due diligence. They're making sure to get a good eye on all of these quarterbacks in this upcoming draft class. They've been doing this for a few years now, but this seems to be the one that they're most likely to jump and try to get a quarterback. Not the same high-level talent that we've seen in previous years. So I could even see them going with the best player available in the first round and then grabbing a guy at quarterback in the second round. And I'd actually probably be a little more comfortable with that than reaching for somebody in the first.
Yeah, and you discussed this a little bit last year as well, that this is what Pittsburgh does. And I remember this conversation like it was yesterday because it was just, I just remember some of the conversations we have. Pittsburgh will always send guys to go watch quarterbacks, not because they have interest in drafting them, but because they want to know what their scoutings or what their scouts showed on players to compared to how they wound up performing in the NFL. If you find a pattern or find something similar that, hey, we thought these three guys were good at this, they came to the NFL and were trash at it, they can understand that, okay, this doesn't mean A equals B. You know, it's a lot of complicated and unique and strategic scouting that goes on here. And this, like you said, is the first year that they may use this to potentially grab a guy that could be the future quarterback. I've also seen a bunch of people mentioning Baker Mayfield potentially coming to Pittsburgh. As much as I don't care for that, like I don't want Baker, just to be clear. I think Baker is probably better than Mitch Trubisky, let's be clear. But I don't want him, but it would be hilarious to spank the Browns with their ex-quarterback. That's the only reason I'd want him, to be clear.
Yeah, really the only way I'd be okay with Baker coming to town is if the Browns release him.
I agree.
Because if you were to trade for him, now you've got $18 million guaranteed. That has to go against your books, and you only have $13 million available right now.
Yep.
So that math does not work. There will not be a trade for Baker Mayfield unless the Browns were to agree to pay his entire salary this year, and Pittsburgh basically wouldn't. But they're more likely to be in the situation that they were a few years ago, where they're going to have to trade him and give away some draft picks in order for somebody to take on that massive contract. Otherwise, they're going to have to cut him. Because right now, everybody knows that he doesn't want to play there. So why would you give them anything and take on that huge contract?
Oh, yeah. He doesn't want to play there. And they got Deshaun. They invested $230 million guaranteed in Deshaun Watson. He ain't going to play there.
Yeah.
So.
Yep, yeah. And then they went and signed Jacoby Brissett, too. So it's like, yeah, they know that Deshaun's going to get suspended. They already have their guy in place with Brissett.
Yep.
They already traded away Case Keenum. They made their moves. But, yeah, I'd be okay with it if they cut him and we brought him in for, like, $2 million bucks for 1 year or something.
Yeah, whatever.
Fine.
Two and a half, fine, three, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Put him on that Dwayne Haskins contract and have him all battle it out.
Absolutely. Another thing that Pittsburgh could potentially address in the draft is depth at outside linebacker. We talked about this a lot with the improvement of Alex Highsmith last year, but then after that, we had Melvin Ingram for a little bit. He was semi-productive. You know, they drafted – who did they draft last year? Why can't I think of his name? Oh, Quincy Roche.
Quincy Roche.
Yeah. He didn't really get a whole lot of playing time, and then once he did later in the year, he didn't get great miss from him. You didn't get what you'd want to see out of a backup outside linebacker. Again, you want to get the position in the position where TJ Watt or Alex Highsmith can come off the field, and you got at least one, if not two guys, that can come in on that off play rotation, or two guys can come in for both of them and still apply pressure and still be able to hold the edge on the outside runs. All the things that you want to see greatness out of from your starters, you need to at least get average play out of those backup guys, or a little bit above average from the backup guys. And right now, I don't think they have that. It really in anybody. I think Quincy played well, but I don't think there's any outside linebacker that I'm like, oh, I'm coming. I mean, even Derek Tuska, came in and played fairly well. But depth on that outside linebacker position is a very big thing moving forward. But again, not as big as those first three, just to make that clear.
Yeah. Yeah, and I agree. We've got to get probably a higher quality number three outside linebacker. I don't want Pittsburgh addressing this in the first two rounds. I would maybe consider it in the third, fourth round. But I think in those first two rounds, you need to be addressing starters. So I don't want to be looking at that because I don't think Alex Highsmith is somebody that needs to be benched. Upgrade over Derek Tuzco would be nice. Somebody that can also contribute on special teams would be nice. Mm-hmm. But just something that they need to address, because Derek Tuzco is the number one outside linebacker right now. Not a fantastic situation.
Yeah.
Next position, depth at the offensive tackle position. So we've got Dan Moore Jr. starting on the left side. Chukwuma Okorafor most likely starting on the right side with that big deal that he just got. And then Joe Hag is your basically lone backup at the position. Past that, it's a bunch of guys with very little experience to no experience that are all undrafted guys. A depth piece there, somebody in the third or fourth round, maybe even later, that you think has the physical tools, have the length, maybe needs to put on some weight, or maybe has the size but needs to work on the footwork and the hand placement. That sort of thing would be a really important move, in my opinion. That way you're not stuck in a situation where Joe Hague is your only backup tackle that can play both sides. You kind of need to increase the quality of depth there with another guy that you're okay with being in there in a pinch.
Yeah, I can't agree more. I think that a lot of this also comes down to the depth is needed. Absolutely. I can't disagree with that more. I think Chooks with the contract is obviously the starting right tackle until the foreseeable future, barring an injury, knock on wood. And then Dan Moore, again, like we discussed last week, probably one of the better performing players throughout the year. But struggled again with some consistency. And I think that here's my take on Dan Moore. I think Dan Moore had a rough time coming into an offensive line that I don't think there was an active leader like there has been in the past. You know, Marquise Pouncey was the guy. Before that, it was probably, you know, DeCastro or Alan Faneca back in the day. You had guys that were cornerstones on the offensive line, and I don't think we have that right now. But like we talked about last week, these guys are all going to come up together now. The youth that we're going to have, and even more youth, if you think about adding a rookie now again, I think that we're going to see Dan Moore grow into his potential more this year, and I think this is a big year for him. So I do agree with the outside or the tackle depth, but I think that we might have our starters for the next 5 or 6 years in Chooks and Dan Moore. But that depth isn't there. You got to have at least two guys, if not a guy that can play interior and exterior. So,
yeah, I feel right now, and it's kind of weird for me to say this, but I feel almost more confident in Dan Moore than I do in Chukwuma Okorafor, because I feel like Dan got a lot better as the season went on, and Chooks has kind of been the same thing as he's been with Pittsburgh thus far, which is a pretty good pass blocker, but not a very good run blocker. So if we're going to improve the running game, you really need all the guys on the offensive line to be at least good or better than average run blockers. So if he can't improve that aspect of his game, I would be really open to the idea of bringing in somebody a little better caliber there.
Yep.
Middle linebacker position. The starters we feel are set in stone basically now, with the addition at middle linebacker and then Devin Bush alongside him. Depth-wise, though, we've got a bunch of guys that have been on the team for a little while and really haven't proven anything yet. Buddy Johnson got an opportunity last year but got injured. I do think Buddy Johnson will get another crack at it this year. But when you start talking about the other backup middle linebackers, your Robert Spillane, your Ulysses Gilbert III, your Marcus Allen, the best of that bunch is probably Spillane, and the other ones just really haven't shown enough yet to be confident in them. And I don't know if any of them are guys that you're sure are going to be that next future starter with Miles Jack. We don't know what we've got with Devin Bush. We've seen extreme highs in his rookie year, and then an injury early in his second year, and the last year being his third year. He just wasn't 100% yet, and you could tell that. So I wouldn't be surprised if Pittsburgh were to go middle linebacker again in this year's draft, as high as the third round, just because you want to try to get somebody with the right size and length that can have a chance of fighting off an offensive lineman. Again, don't want to address in the first or second round unless there's an elite guy that falls, and then okay, go for it. But I don't know that there is that elite guy that you would consider taking at number 20 this year.
Yeah, I agree. I haven't seen anybody that stuck out that be like, you know, maybe if someone falls to the pick in the second round, maybe. But I don't see any possible way we draft a middle linebacker number 20. But I will say I agree with you completely. Devin Bush had that phenomenal rookie year, and it was like, oh my gosh, we got somebody who can replace the unfortunate, you know, moving on from Ryan Shazier, and then just the injury, and then just a very, very flat year is how I'll describe last year. It was very flat. You know, sometimes you'll have players that have really highs, and then they have a low game, and then a high game. And it was just a lot of nothing. And I say flat because I don't think he had a bad year. It just was nowhere near as productive as you would expect a even decently high caliber middle linebacker, which was what everyone thought we were getting with him. And especially being the number one in a 3-4 system, or excuse me, a 4-3 system, which is what Pittsburgh runs, four linebackers, three down linemen for the most part.
3-4, yeah.
3-4. I said it backwards. Yeah. I said it right the first time.
yeah, you did.
My brain's not working today. You have to have at least one very high caliber middle linebacker and someone to kind of complement them, which it may turn out to be that Miles Jack is the high caliber one and Devin Bush has to try and complement him now. You know, Miles Jack has the chance to prove that he's an elite guy right now, and we got an amazing deal for him. And then I agree, Robert Spillane being the number one true backup has had his moments. He's had his Derrick Henry meet in the gap moment. He's had the potential when Devin Bush went down last year. He played very well.
He had a pick six against Lamar Jackson. I mean, he's had very high moments.
Yeah.
It's just the consistency.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to see what happens. Again, I think middle linebacker only needs to be addressed because of the names of Marcus Allen, Ulysses Gilbert III, those guys have been on the team for how long. Marcus Allen being the converted safety to middle linebacker, you lose some size there. He's not going to beat the one-on-ones in the hole that, like you'd want from a middle linebacker. I think they need to move on at some point. And I do hope that middle linebacker is addressed in the draft and not as an undrafted guy. I don't think you're going to improve on anything with an undrafted guy in this scenario.
I agree with you completely.
Yeah.
Next position we're looking at in the draft class is a cornerback position. This is the guys covering the wide receivers, of course, and specifically a highly athletic one. It doesn't do you any good to bring in another guy that runs a 4.5, 4.55, 4.6, 40-yard dash. It needs to be a guy with some elite speed. And the reason I say this is because more and more of these wide receivers in the NFL are not 4.4 40 guys, they're 4.3 40 guys. And if all your guys can't cover someone and can't run with someone that fast, which we saw happen a couple times last year, that really presents a problem. So we really need to figure that out and try to get somebody. Corner is a position that I would actually be okay with Pittsburgh addressing in the first or second round. So maybe I should have lumped that up with those positions there. But my biggest thing is that if they do take a corner, and I do want to see them do that, it needs to be one with some speed. Because I just am not interested in a guy that's another middle-of-the-run athlete. At that position, we need another guy that's got some serious speed.
Yeah, I think an athletic corner would be huge for Pittsburgh moving forward. You think about the great Pittsburgh Steelers teams, you think about Rod Woodson. I don't even think in the last two Super Bowls that we've won, I don't think we had a super high athletic guy. But I think
Ike Taylor was a 4.2 40 guy.
Okay, so Ike Taylor. But I also think we might have had better safety play in those Super Bowls. You know, you think of, I believe Ryan Clark was on the last one.
Troy
Polamalu, The secondary as a whole needs to be either be upgraded or needs to just perform better to, I think, get to the caliber type defense and team to make another Super Bowl run. So I can't agree with you more with the athletic quarterback, especially when you look at the league now. You got teams like Miami that now have two guys in the, 4.35 or faster, I think. I don't remember what Waddle was. But now with Tyreek Hill there, we don't have anyone to cover either one of them right now. You got to at least try to cover one so you can double team the other one. I'm right there with you. I think cornerback is a very high need. I would hate to see us draft a fast guy late just because he's fast. I'd like to get someone who's also athletic and was capable enough to be, you know, first, second, or third round draft pick. I think if you draft later than that, it's you're not getting a big enough upgrade for that specifically. That's my personal opinion. I could be wrong. There's always guys that, you know, get drafted in the sixth and seventh and show up and show out. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. The next two positions I'm going to kind of lump together because they're both kind of just positions that we could use upgrades for.
I was going to do the same thing if you weren't going to.
Perfect. So the next one, the next two being center and D-line. Center specifically, we have Kendrick Green. We just brought in Mason Cole. Both those guys have the potential. And then, I mean, you also, you know, J.C. Hasenhauer is back as well. You have depth there, but if you can draft somebody who would be an upgrade automatically from those guys, it's almost worth it to get that because of how inconsistent we were last year with Kendrick Green. Hasenhauer came in and played well at the end of the year. We talked about that a little bit. But I think an upgrade at center would be great. And then an upgrade at D-line. Again, you have Stephon Tuitt potentially coming back. You have Tyson Alualu potentially coming back. There's a couple of question marks on the defensive line that we're kind of waiting for. And, you know, we got guys like Cam Hayward, who's obviously going to be there and perform well. We've seen that consistently. You got the guy from last year. You got James's guy, Henry Mondo. and then
he's on the outside looking in, to be fair.
That's fair. And then you also have, I can't remember his stinking name now, the rookie from
Isaiah Loudermilk.
Loudermilk. Yeah. But there is the potential, especially in the first round, just saying, to have a massive upgrade to the defensive line. I'll end it there. What do you have to say?
Yeah, I think both of these positions are first or second round or don't bother.
Yep.
Maybe, I guess, in interior offensive line, maybe you could take someone later that might be an upgrade over Hasenhauer. But again, that nowhere near as much of a priority. I think we're pretty deep at interior offensive line right now. But defensive line, if it isn't a first or second round guy, I don't think he'll even be good enough to make the team. So it's a short list for me with Jordan Davis, his teammate, the Wyatt, Perrion Winfrey. There's a short list of a few guys, first or second round, that would be an upgrade in a pretty dramatic fashion. Once you get past that, I don't know that I would like anybody else in the draft more than you like Isaiah Loudermilk anyway. So why bother? You're just creating an issue as far as roster spots. So I would rather at that point go something different, like say the tight end position or the fullback position. Right now we like our first two tight ends. We really like our first one. Our second one had a breakout year in Zach Gentry, but is going into the last year of his contract, his rookie deal. Are you going to want to pay him? How much is he going to need? And do you want to do any three tight end sets? Because if you do, right now the other tight ends on the team are either good blockers but not so much receiving, or they're good receivers but not so much blocking. So maybe you'll look for someone that you can add to that room and then not have to worry about whether or not you're re-signing Zach Gentry. Maybe a Jelani Woods in the third or fourth round would be a real nice move. Then you feel very good about your tight end position. But again, it's basically you're looking for a new number three that could be the new number two in 2023. So not a super high priority. I would say probably address it sixth or seventh round. In fullback, I basically only say because of Connor Hayward. And again, I could see Pittsburgh keeping two fullbacks for one season. They have done it before. And they definitely would consider doing it when both of those guys would be starters on special teams, because that's what you'd be looking at. When they did it before, it was Will Johnson and Rosie Nix. Rosie Nix became the future starting fullback and was a Pro Bowler at fullback. So when you have the possibility of getting a guy who has good receiving capability, good blocking capability, and is really good on special teams like Connor Hayward is, that's a kind of a direct replacement to Derek Watt, who led the NFL in tackles on special teams last year. So I don't want to get rid of Derek Watt. I like Derek Watt. I want him in 2022, but do you really want to pay him again after that?
Yeah.
If you got Connor Hayward on a rookie deal, it's cheaper. Maybe you move forward with that, and just for 1 year, you run them both.
Yep. I genuinely have nothing else to add to that one. I think that, you know, you'd go from one great defensive player's brother to another great defensive player's brother. Quite frankly. So I don't mind that in the slightest. Connor Hayward, I do believe that if Pittsburgh picks up him or Carnell Lake's son, right? It's his son, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, correct.
The safety. Either one of those
Quinn Lake.
Yes. Either one of those would be seventh round or undrafted. At the best, to clarify. So I'd be interested to see what happens there for sure. And then also, you know, you talk about the fullback, you talk about the backfield, also running back depth. You know, we haven't seen much out of Benny Snell. We haven't seen much out of the guy I think we just released. We talked about Jalen Samuels in the past few years. We talked about
Kalen Ballage is an unrestricted free agent. I doubt they're going to bring him back in unless it's just for a veteran minimum deal. Anthony McFarland, we've seen nothing from him yet. Unfortunately, injuries have really plagued him so far. So I could see them taking somebody late, like a Pierre Strong or something like that. I don't know. Why not?
What would you do if they drafted Carson and Pierre?
Dude, it's a corner, too. There's a corner with the last name Strong this year too. I'm just saying.
Let's
bring some Strongs to Pittsburgh where they belong.
Oh, here we go. All right. So with that, that's going to be the end of the topics as far as specific player needs after free agency, or at least the beginning of free agency. Now we're going to talk specifically about the pro days because that's important, and James has like a unique fact about that specifically as well.
Yeah, this is via Alex Kozora of Steelers Depot. The Pittsburgh Steelers have not drafted a player in the first round. That the Steelers have not been to the pro day with both their head coach and general manager since 2010. That player was Ziggy Hood, who was kind of an okay starter, but never a real productive one, never a pro bowler, and was not renewed on a new contract after his rookie deal ran out. Basically, you can kind of follow the Blues clues of if Colbert and Mike Tomlin are there, then the higher round potential caliber guys on that current college team are people that Pittsburgh's probably highly considering as a first round pick. And then any other guys they're definitely looking at from that roster as well. We're going to go over anyone that's really notable. There's a huge list here, and I'm not going to waste you guys' time on schools like, say, the first one, Northwestern. They had an area scout there. I don't know any of these prospects. We're not going to talk about that.
Nope.
Miami of Ohio, no big deal. Wisconsin on March 9th. They sent area scout Dave Pettit. This is where you actually have some names that are going to sound familiar to some people. Linebacker Leo Chenal is a very athletic middle linebacker. Jack Sanborn, a big name. He had a lot of tackles as a middle linebacker. And tight end Jake Ferguson. So all those guys are going to be potential targets mid to late rounds as far as Pittsburgh. Oklahoma's got a really key guy there, Cody, but it looks like they're not looking at him in the first round. You notice that first name on the list?
I did. I did notice that first name on the list. You talking about Perrion?
Yes, Perrion Winfrey. So Pittsburgh sent area scout Kelvin Fisher there, which means they're interested in these group, but did not send their top-notch dudes. Again, you're going to have some conflicts as far as you can't have your head coach and your general manager at the same place as two different places on the same day. Doesn't work that way.
Yep.
But Perrion Winfrey is somebody I think that would be an amazing addition. A lot of people have outside linebacker Nick Bonito in the second or third round. And then there's some other guys there as well. But those are going to be your notable names from that team. Next team probably we're talking about Arkansas, where area scout Mark Gorsak was at. You might notice the name Mark Gorsak from the 40-yard dash at the NFL Combine. He's been running it for like the last 15 years. The calming voice of the Pittsburgh Steelers, where he tries to get people to run their best 40. You just run fast because you are fast. That's what he always tells them.
Oh,
but at Arkansas, wide receiver Treylon Burks is the one that a lot of people are talking about there. Past that, the rest of the names don't really stick out to me all that much. Moving on to maybe a larger school here. Let's see what we can find. We're going to get to March 14th, Georgia Tech. There's a safety that we really loved in the East-West Shrine game there, Cody.
Yeah,
you remember Wanye Thomas blowing everybody up?
What?
Wanye Thomas out of Georgia Tech. Scout Rick Reprise there. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he was the one that kept on making all those bone-crushing hits and stopping people just short of the first down and keeping them out of the end zone. So he's definitely on Pittsburgh's radar. This is a strong safety that would probably not be first round, probably a third rounder later kind of guy. And if you didn't get your future starter in free agency squared away beforehand, This is somebody I wouldn't be disappointed with running the black and gold. I imagine him on special teams, the way he hits people on defense.
It would be,
if he wasn't your starter right out the gate, he'd be blowing people up, bro. Yeah.
Although, unfortunately, if he gets drafted, let's be real, he's probably starting. At this point in time, he's probably starting.
Yeah, with who's on the roster right now, Wanya Thomas is starting strong safety.
Yes.
Other guys that would be potential starters, if we scoot down to Central Michigan, area scout Dan Colbert was there. Offensive tackle Bernard Raymond is the most notable prospect there. Most people's offensive tackle number five. Some have him as first round grade, some second. I see a lot more people talking about him as a second or later option, but pretty much everybody has him as the number five offensive tackle.
Yeah.
So being that only an area scout was sent, you would assume that that would probably mean they also look at him as a second round or later type prospect.
Yeah.
But UCLA, I know you noticed some of the names there. The tight end and also the safety should stick out.
Yep. Yeah, UCLA. They only sent the West area scout Mark Bruner, but Quentin Lake, obviously the son of the great Carnell Lake. And then tight end Greg I can never pronounce the name.
Dulcich. Greg Dulcich is one of the most athletic tight ends in this entire draft class. Highly athletic dude, not a big blocker, but somebody that, well, here you know, you sent your area scout that's a former tight end and one of the better ones in Steelers history to go look at a tight end. So that's a significant one. That's something that we should keep an eye on, because I think there's something that should be looked into a little bit with that. And then again, we've talked about Quentin Lake a few times and how he could easily be a late dart throw if you haven't added a safety.
Yeah.
Maybe looking for some additional safety depth. Biggest pro day we're going to talk about so far, the Georgia pro day. Who is there, Cody?
Georgia pro day on March 16th had all of these guys. Mike Tomlin, Kevin Colbert, defensive assistant linebackers coach Brian Flores, the wide receivers coach, as well as the player personnel coordinator Dan Rooney Jr. Those are some big names. Four of those are massive names, to be clear. You obviously have the wide receiver George Pickens. We talked about the defensive line, Jordan Davis and Devontae Wyatt. You even have Trayvon Walker, another defensive lineman. Quay Walker, as well as N'Kobe Dean, are other linebackers that kind of stand out. And then you also have strong safety, Lewis Cine. I don't expect Cine to be available when we're drafting. I don't think he'll be first round, but I think he has potential to be, unless I'm thinking of the wrong guy. I think I am thinking of the wrong guy.
No, you're thinking right. Lewis Cine, most people have him going second round.
Okay.
But a highly athletic dude. I don't think
he's going to be there when we get there.
That's my concern. This feels to me like the draft class from 2 years ago, where there was a bunch of guys in the, like, second round that would go late first, early second, that were really good safeties that probably weren't going to go high in the first for one reason or another, not highly productive, don't have the right size, but have the speed, whatever, that kind of stuff. This year they have the size and speed and maybe just not the production some folks are looking for. And there's a big group of them, and I want one of them, and I don't think many of them are going to be there by 52, maybe none of them.
Yeah.
So I really feel like this is that year that if you want to get one of these safeties, either you're going to have to take them in the first round, which might be a little higher than some folks would have them slated, or maybe you take advantage and trade back at 20. You trade back from 20 to the late 20s, maybe early 30. You grab one of your safeties there. And then whatever you pick up in addition to that, maybe you pick up an additional second round pick and you're able to fill multiple holes with guys that are starter capable. I feel like it would be a really good year for it, man. I hate to see another draft class like Antoine Winfield, man. I wanted him so bad.
Yep,
and he's been so good. And then it was the other guy that went to Carolina and ended up winning Defensive Rookie of the Year, that safety that was like 225 pounds. Like those guys were the same class, and they were both in that early second round range, and they were both gone by the time Pittsburgh picked. And to me this year, it's Lewis Cine, it's Jaquan Prisker from Penn State. There's another kid from Michigan. I would love for Pittsburgh to come away with one of these guys.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you don't do it in the first round, they won't be there in the second.
I agree. But I do think it's important to note also, and it's noted on here, that the wide receiver coach, Jackson, did put George Pickens through his own workout.
Yes.
So that's big. Like, that's
huge.
Very huge.
And I think Pickens is another one. If you don't get him by the second round, he's not going to be there when the third round comes around.
Yep.
Highly athletic, big dude. We're talking also on this team, three off-ball linebackers, and we sent Brian Flores, a former linebackers coach and former linebacker in the NFL, to look at these guys.
Yep.
So I don't think it can be understated how they're looking at these defensive linemen, who all three of them are potential first-round picks, and they're looking at these off-ball linebackers and the safety and the wide receiver with a very, very close eye. So would not be surprised if Pittsburgh were to grab one of these guys from Georgia, and basically any of them is an automatic upgrade to the team. Yep. So very, very fun one to look at. Now, the next team, only two coaches went. The Minnesota Pro Day, offensive line coach Pat Meyer, and then also scouting coordinator Phil Kreidler. Minnesota is where Daniel Falele is at. Yeah, also tight end co-keefed.
Yeah,
Falele, most people say in second round pick. Another person I would be ecstatic about if Pittsburgh were to be able to grab in the second round. This is that mountain of a man that we've talked about that was about 6'8", 380, 390 pounds, and pretty athletic for his size. Just an absolute mauler. If you were talking about the polar opposite of what Jacomo Corfor is at right tackle, it's Daniel Falele. This is a guy that will absolutely bury you in the run game, and probably needs a little bit of work as far as his pass blocking, but that can be coached up, in my opinion. So interesting to see there. The Michigan State Pro Day, there was someone there. We don't know who it is. They're probably checking out the running backs of Connor Hayward and Kenneth Walker. Walker being a high draft pick, a first or second round guy. I doubt Pittsburgh is going to be interested in him just because of their current situation. Connor Hayward, on the other hand, I do believe they would be interested in him as a late round option. March 17th, Cody, the very next day, head coach Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert and Brian Flores and wide receiver coach Frisman Jackson again all went to Clemson. So that means we're looking at both the cornerback Andrew Booth Jr., who's a first round possibility,
yep,
and the wide receiver Justin Ross, who's another high round kind of guy. And again, Frisman Jackson put Ross through his workout. So both him and Pickens should be very squarely in your bullseye of people you should be doing mock drafts on. If you're thinking about a wide receiver in the second round, I would highly consider both of those gentlemen for sure.
Yeah.
What do we got here? What's our next school we should be talking about? We should
talk about South Carolina State, I think. Just briefly, senior scout Rick Reprish, whatever went there.
Rick Reprish.
Quarterback, yeah. Kobe Durant has been on a couple headlines that I've seen. I don't think he's going to be a high draft pick, but Kobe Durant has been a name that I've seen circulating recently. I don't know specific details about him specifically, but it is a name that I've seen come up multiple times in things that I've read and things that have stuck out to me. So I don't know as far as specific stats for him or anything like that. I don't know if he was ran in the combine or what the pro day numbers were or anything like that. And I can find that at some point. But very interesting to see what happened there. And I'm actually going to pull it up right now just because I'm curious to see what his pro day results were.
How big is this guy? Is this a larger guy, a smaller guy? I'm curious.
He's 5'10", 180, and he ran a 4.38 40. That's the only combine results that I have. So
that's a check mark next to that highly athletic cornerback position that I'm looking for, Cody.
So that's literally it. There are no other results for anything else. But maybe that's something that they're looking at. Again, that's a name that I've seen come up in a couple things that I've read. And maybe that's a target late. And maybe it's just because of the speed.
That shows me that dude is smart, too, because he knew he was going to run fast. So he ran and he said, I'm done. He probably did some position drills, too, if we're being honest about it.
Yeah.
But hey, man, be smart about the process, right? That shows some intelligence on this kid. Don't go out there and run agility drills if you're not going to do them well.
Yeah.
Michigan, let's talk Michigan, huh?
100%.
Big pro day. They always have a ton of high-level guys.
Yeah.
Talk about who was there, Cody.
Mike Tomlin, Kevin Colbert, Dan Colbert, and the scouting coordinator, college scouting coordinator, Phil Kreidler.
Massive, big time, baby.
Massive names here. You look at the edge rushers, Aiden Hutchinson, David Ojabo. And then you have a defensive back, Daxton Hill. The running back, Hussein Haskins, that some people want us to draft. I'm not sold on that. I've heard a couple people mention him. I don't know if you've heard that or not. And then linebacker Josh Ross also stands out to me as well.
I've heard a lot of people talking about Hassan Haskins. That's and the right. guy's highly talented. But realistically, I don't want Pittsburgh to spend a high draft pick on a running back. I think it's kind of foolish to do so. When you run Najee 90-95% of the time, why are you going to spend another second or third round pick on a running back? I'm not in on that. But Josh Ross, that's the name to look at for me, because I believe Aiden Hutchinson's going to be a top five guy. David Ojabo, unfortunately, had a nasty lower body injury during this pro day. I don't recall if it was ACL or if it was Achilles, but it was one of the two. So you would expect him to miss the entire upcoming season, most likely. If he were available at all, it would be maybe late regular season.
Yeah.
So that might push Ojabo down the list. Maybe he would be available in the second where he wouldn't normally be. But linebacker Josh Ross, another highly athletic middle linebacker out of Michigan, I think might be one of the people that they made sure to be there to watch.
Yeah. The next big one on my list is actually the next day, the 21st. Mike Tomlin, Kevin Colbert, defensive coordinator Terrell Austin, the VP of Football and Business Administrator Omar Khan, and then the area scout David Petit, and an analyst Will Britt. All were at this pro day for Pittsburgh. Now, I mean, it's close. Also, it's not a far drive at all. They don't have to travel much for it. It's easy to get these guys there. But this is big with Kenny Pickett, and then you also have Damari Mathis, the quarterback, and then they also have a notable player, long snapper, because those guys matter too. So.
Yeah, so again, that was Tomlin, Colbert, Terrell Austin, Omar Khan, Dave Pettit, and Will Britt. That's a heck of a roster of people that went to see him. Again, they're literally already in the building when they wake up. But that does show that Kenny Pickett is absolutely somebody that they're strongly considering for a first-round draft pick. I think everybody probably knew that going into it, but this solidifies it that they're very much so checking out Kenny. And then I hear good things about Damari Mathis as well. So interesting there. Now, Nevada was the same day, so you can't have your GM and your head coach in two places at the same time. So what they did is they sent their quarterbacks, Coach Mike Sullivan and area scout Kelvin Fisher, to go watch quarterback Carson Strong, wide receiver Romeo Dubs, and tight end Cole Turner. I'm sure there were some other names there as well, but all three of those are draftable. Carson, a lot of people calling him a second or third round guy. Same with wide receiver Romeo Dubs, who was unable to work out while he was there, but he was there as far as interviews and that sort of thing. So notable that if you're not able to send your GM and your head coach, you would send your quarterback's coach to check out the quarterback. So there's definitely at least some interest level there, or you wouldn't even bother. So I would say that Pittsburgh's probably comfortable with the medicals as far as Carson Strong's knee, because he has had multiple surgeries on that knee. It's just a strong thing. I wouldn't worry about it, you know? Yeah. That's the way we roll. We have bad knees. Something I would say definitely to keep an eye on there, if Pittsburgh doesn't get their quarterback in the first round, Carson is one of those guys that you would consider in the second or third round, and a very pro-ready quarterback.
Yeah.
A very smart guy. As we scroll through here to see some other schools, Northern Iowa, the big name there is Trevor Penning. There was a Steelers scout there. We don't know who. The only reason we know is because wide receiver Isaiah Weston confirmed having a long interview with a scout, but the name of the scout we don't know. So they did check out offensive tackle Trevor Penning, who is a lot of people's offensive tackle number three in this year's class. And they did check out the wide receiver there as well. But again, can't be in two places at the same time. They were in Michigan that day. So that was the priority as far as them. But the very next day, a big pro day, Cody.
Big pro day at Liberty. You had Mike Tomlin, Kevin Colbert, the pro scouting coordinator Brandon Hunt, offensive coordinator Matt Canada, and player personnel coordinator Dan Rooney Jr. All obviously there for more than likely Malik Willis. And then you also have wide receiver Trey Turner as well, who specifically was from Virginia Tech, but came and worked out with Malik Willis. So, again, this was a big, I mean, again, they haven't drafted anybody. They haven't sent both, you know, head coach and GM to since, you said, what, 2010, I believe?
Yes.
So Malik Willis is definitely on the radar there. Now, Mike Tomlin has been quoted saying he doesn't expect Malik Willis to be there. He's also been quoted not expecting Jordan Davis to be there. So if either of these guys fall, I think Pittsburgh's picking up either one. Like, if Malik Willis is there, I think he's getting drafted by us, to clarify. I think, I don't know, James, tell me your input real quick. We're going to go off topic, not off topic, but on a little rant. Kenny Pickett, Jordan Davis, Malik Willis are all there in the first. What do you do?
All right, so what were the names again?
Kenny Pickett's available, Jordan Davis is available, and Malik Willis. All three are available at 20.
If it's me and all three of those guys are available.
No trading options.
No trade options, you said.
Yep, because that's what I think you'd do.
No. I figured you wanted me to actually make a decision on that. And not, so if it were me, I would probably be most comfortable with Jordan Davis, which I know is not a need right now for Pittsburgh, but I feel like the ceiling on Jordan Davis is maybe the best defensive tackle in the entire NFL. As to where the ceiling with the quarterbacks, I don't think is anywhere near as high. Malik Willis, if he figures everything out, his ceiling is extremely high. I think Kenny Pickett's floor is very high, as where Kenny Pickett will be at least a good quarterback in the NFL. I think his ability to read a field is already there. His ability to go through progressions is always there. He has good escapability. I think he meets a lot of the minimum requirements. If you needed a starter day one, I think it's Pickett. But I don't think Pittsburgh's looking at it that way. I think they're looking at, can we hit the home run and get a guy that could be the best quarterback in the league? To me, I want a guy that I can keep for another 15-plus years like you did with Ben. So I'm not banking on high-end athleticism as much. I'm banking more on a guy who shows he can go through the reads and make the accurate throws. So I lean more towards Kenny Pickett than I do Malik Willis in this situation. But I think the high-end potential of Jordan Davis is extremely difficult to pass up on. If all three were there, I would probably go that way.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Next big school is Texas A&M. You want to talk about who we got there?
Yes, we sent defensive line coach Carl Dunbar and offensive line coach Pat Meyer. Also, the possibility might be Mark Gorsak was there. They're not really sure if Gorsak was there, but they think he might have been. Defensive tackle DeMarvin Leal. A lot of people have him as a late first, early second round pick. So that's definitely somebody on their radar. Also, offensive lineman Kenyon Green. Most people have him as their second or third best interior offensive lineman. So being that we sent our defensive line coach and our offensive line coach, those two are definitely in the hairs, the crosshairs as far as people that they're possibly targeting. Running back Isaiah Spiller, a lot of people's number one running back in this draft. Again, I don't see Pittsburgh going that direction. So those are the guys to really keep an eye on from this group, DeMarvin Leal and Kenyon Green as possible draft picks in that second round slot, I would say.
Yeah. I don't know if you want to talk about any of the other smaller schools that are next.
Mississippi State, worth mentioning that senior scout Rick Reprise was there again. Offensive tackle Charles Cross, most people's third or fourth best offensive tackle in this upcoming class. So somebody they're looking at. Again, you can't have everybody at the same place on the same day. It doesn't work that way. So possible first round draft pick, I would say probably not. He's more of a Chuksekorfor kind, where he specializes in pass pro, not as good of a run blocker, good movement skills. Going down the list here, if there's anybody else, probably March 23rd is the next big one there.
Yep,
the Ole Miss Pro Day.
100%. Mike Tomlin, obviously. Just kidding. Mike Tomlin, Kevin Colbert, Brandon Hunt again, Matt Canada, Dan Rooney Jr., and Rick Reprise all were there for this. You have quarterback Matt Corral. You have wide receiver Dontario Drummond. The edge rusher that I talked about in the previous episode of the podcast, Sam Williams, who I was fairly interested in. And then you have a couple other guys. Snoop Connor. If you combine Snoop Dogg and James Conner, you got Snoop Conner. There he is. He's running.
Yeah. I mean, how could you not be interested in a guy named Snoop? That's for sure.
I know.
Obviously, with a little teasing here from our part, Matt Corral, the big name here.
100%.
I did get to watch one game of Ole Miss live this year, and it happened to be Ole Miss versus Liberty, which put Malik Willis versus Matt Corral. The game did not go well for Malik Willis, which did jade me a little bit in his corner. And it went amazing for Matt Corral. The guy threw for like 400 plus yards and like 4 plus touchdowns, as were Malik Willis, I think, threw for 5 interceptions in that game. So it was a rough game for Malik, but his team was drastically outclassed, and you could tell. So Matt Corral, somebody that you should have on your radar, is still being a possibility for Pittsburgh in the first round at the quarterback position. If both Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett are gone by the time Pittsburgh picks at number 20, there's a real possibility that they're looking at Matt Corral as another guy there. There's another one that we're going to talk about soon here when we get to that Cincinnati Pro Day. Did we talk to Cincinnati one already?
No, Cincinnati's coming up still.
Yeah. So there's still one more quarterback that they're definitely checking out there. But that's the big name there is going to be Matt Corral for sure. And then Sam, keep an eye on your boy Sam Williams. You never know. Virginia, one of your draft crushes here, Cody.
Jelani Woods, tight end. We talked about him from, I believe, the East-West Shrine Bowl.
Yeah.
Jelani Woods. There's also a safety there, Joey Blount. But again, Jelani Woods is the man we're focusing on there, I'm sure. Jelani Woods is going to be tight end number 2, my guy. It's got to happen. It's got to happen.
So Pittsburgh to Adam, man. Great size in the 6'6 plus. He's about 260 pounds. Ran his 40-yard dash in the low 4.6s, which is very fast for a guy that big. I think it was like 27 reps on the bench, too. So very strong. Just has all the measurables you're looking for when you're looking for a lump of clay kind of guy that you can develop. This is the kind of guy that you're looking for. So definitely something worth noting there. As we go to the Ohio State Pro Day, unfortunately for Ohio State, Pittsburgh only sent a couple of guys, which would have been wide receivers coach Blaine Stewart and area scout Dan Colbert. Obviously, the wide receiver coach being a notable name because both Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave are expected to be first-round picks at the wide receiver position.
Mm-hmm.
So if Pittsburgh were interested in those guys, they got a really good look. They also have a couple offensive tackles that people are expecting to be drafted, and Thayer Munford and Nicholas Petit-Friere. Running back, Master Teague. Again, I don't see Pittsburgh prioritizing running back. If you wanted a high-quality dude for backup, there you go. Master Teague would easily be somebody that you could add to that list. I'm really disappointed they didn't send anybody to the UConn Pro Day, Cody, because I really liked Travis Jones.
Yeah.
He dominated in the Senior Bowl. Nobody could block him. He was just plowing through everybody except for Zion Johnson. So it's a shame, but we didn't send anybody, so it would be tough to see them drafting him. They do draft guys that they don't send scouts there. It does happen. It's just a lot more rare. So kind of doubt that one's going to happen, unfortunately. March 24th, we move on to the Penn State Pro Day, and they did send a decent number of guys to it.
Yeah, they sent a lot. They sent defensive assistant linebackers coach Brian Flores, interior linebackers coach Jerry Olsavsky, defensive backs coach Grady Brown, and the area scout Dave Petit. Petit.
Let's go. Petit.
Petit.
I like it.
Stop. I suck at pronouncing names. It's okay.
Let's go with Petit. It's probably Petit.
Let's talk about these players.
Yeah, there's a lot of linebackers here, which is probably why we sent so many linebackers coaches to go check them out. Brandon Smith, highly athletic middle linebacker who could probably play the edge for you a little. Jesse Lucada, not as highly athletic, but a very productive edge rusher who has played some middle linebacker. And then edge rusher Arnold Ebiketie, all highly thought of possibilities there. And then Ellis Brooks, not on this list that we're looking at, but he started at middle linebacker for Penn State. Also there, I want to say Ellis ran in like the 4.7s. So he had himself a decent pro day there as well. So you have 4 linebackers that are draftable kids coming out from Penn State this year. So of course they sent somebody to check them out. But with their DB coach there, that also puts safety Jaquan Brisker, who I'm a big fan of personally. He had like 3 or 4 picks this last year. At least. And then cornerback Tariq Castro Fields, who has great length and speed. He check marks that highly athletic part. Both of those guys should be very much so targets for Pittsburgh. And honestly, if they got wide receiver Jahan Dotson, he would immediately be the best wide receiver on the team day one. Absolutely torched some teams this last year with less than stellar play at offensive line and even at quarterback sometimes. Dotson had games where he was receiving like 250 plus yards and just touchdowns nonstop all year long. So a very, very dynamic player, some good speed from some of these guys. And then offensive tackle Rashid Walker, expected to be a third rounder later type pick. I'm not real big on offensive linemen from Penn State because they never seem to have any good ones.
That's
so I kind of rather not.
That's fair. Next team going to be Cincinnati. Again, a large group of names here. You had Mike Tomlin, Kevin Colbert, Omar Khan, Mike Sullivan, the QB coach, Matt Canada, offense coordinator, Dan Colbert, and then also Brandon Hunt. This was probably the single most heavily attended pro day. I believe this was even more than Liberty. You have quarterback Desmond Ridder, who's a potential second-round draft pick. You have quarterback Sauce Gardner, who should be gone in the first five picks, let's be real. You have the other quarterback played opposite of him, Kobe Bryant, C-O-B-Y, not K-O-B-E, to clarify. Safety Brian Cook, wide receiver Alec Pierce, and edge rusher Maji Sanders.
Maji. Yeah.
Whatever.
Where's the A? It's the podcasts I listen to. I get a lot of the pronunciations from these podcasts.
That's fair. But again, it helps. Desmond Ridder, potential second-round draft pick. Some people are saying Pittsburgh, that's a steal of the draft. You never know. There's the quarterback options that could be there in the second round if you think of him and Carson Strong. But then the quarterbacks, Kobe Bryant, Sauce Gardner, either of those two guys are potential day one starters, in my opinion. Not necessarily both of them being number one guys, but whether starting in the nickel or starting outside, they're potential day ones.
Also, wide receiver Alec Pierce, probably a second or third round dude. Great size, height, and speed. So that would check mark a bunch of options there for you as well. So some excellent, excellent prospects coming out. Both Sauce Gardner and Kobe Bryant would be nice additions to that cornerback room for sure. And Desmond Ridder's a nice combination of athleticism. He was a 4.50 flat 40-yard dash for a quarterback. That's very fast.
Yeah.
And good height. I want to say he's 6'3 and change. So don't overlook Desmond Ridder. Probably the other guy that could possibly be a first-round quarterback for Pittsburgh. And he kind of looks the part, honestly. How in the world does Cincinnati end up in a situation where they're the number four team in the nation at the end of the year? It's because that some of these guys are elite talents. Definitely something that Pittsburgh took a very, very close eye when they were checking these guys out. Yeah. And you'll have to check out the next one for me because I just lost the feed here.
That's okay. There's only two more specifically that I want to talk about, but I don't know if you want to talk about more. March 25th, the next big one, Notre Dame. We sent Kevin Colbert and area scout Dan Colbert to their pro day. Safety Kyle Hamilton, running back Kyron Williams, quarterback Jack Cohen, and wide receiver Kevin Austin Jr. Those are the notable guys there. Again, all positions that we talked about, specifically safety and quarterback, that we talked about Pittsburgh having a high priority for, and then potential running back depth in Kyron Williams and Kevin Austin Jr., potential depth at wide receiver, easily probably starting number three wide receiver if drafted. So again, these are guys that Pittsburgh could either draft early. I don't see Jack Cohen as an early draft pick, maybe Kyle Hamilton, but again, those other guys could fall late four or five day three draft picks. So
yeah, and Kyle Hamilton, safety number one on everybody's board. They've got him going top five, worst case scenario, top 10 overall.
Yeah.
Just a big dude. He's like 6'4", 220. Nobody liked his 40-yard dash, but if you watched it, he was weaving left to right the whole way down. So he's a lot faster than that 4.59 time, and when you watch him play a game, he's a lot faster on the field than that too. My big one from this is actually quarterback Jack Cohn. And Jack, to me, is that guy that, at the East-West Shrine game, very accurate, very poised in the pocket, showed a little bit of athleticism, and very prototypical on the size. If Pittsburgh doesn't take a quarterback in the first, second, or even third round, Jack Cohn is the kind of guy I could see them bringing in as a later round prospect, possibly somebody who can get you through all the rookie mini camps, And maybe something that could be developed. If Pittsburgh doesn't take a stab in the first couple rounds, I'm comfortable with a guy like Jack as a possible prospect later on in the process. Boston College, the last one that I think is notable far as talking about up to this point. There's going to be more pro days in the future. We probably won't cover them as in-depth as we are doing today. But area scout Dave Pettit, is what we're going to call him, was there for this one. Offensive lineman Zion Johnson, who I really wanted in the first round, so that totally takes him out, which is a bummer for me. Center Alec Lindstrom, more of a mid-round pick. Offensive tackle Tyler Vrabel, yes, the son of Mike Vrabel. And then there's a linebacker there, Isaiah Graham Mobley, that I really don't know anything about. I'm not going to lie to you. But that's three offensive linemen who would definitely be possible targets for the Steelers, and it appears to be second round or later as far as the target range for these gentlemen.
Yeah, and just to give you some input on Isaiah Graham, he ran a 4.62 40. He's 6'1", 230 pounds with 32-inch arms. So,
yeah, that's good athleticism, good size.
What you'd like to see out of that. So, again, that's going to round up the pro days and going over that again. If you guys have anybody that you think Pittsburgh, you think they're going to draft in the first round or anything like that, feel free to message us, let us know. We'd love to talk about it on the show. I know we said we were going to do a live draft for you guys on the show, but in order to keep this kind of short and condensed for you guys, we're going to end the show now, and then we're going to actually wind up posting the live draft, the video version of that, to YouTube only. That way you guys can have the video of seeing us and talking through it, and you'll see us as we do the draft picks. You'll get to experience all that. So if you guys, again, haven't, YouTube, look up Steelers by the Lake. Can't miss us. We'll be the one of the first things that pop up. Make sure you subscribe. Hit the bell. Get the notifications. It's free to subscribe. Doesn't cost you anything. And then let us know in the comments on YouTube what you guys think of the draft that we wind up doing. And we look forward to next time. So, again, thank you so much for listening. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Steelers by the Lake. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.